splendor, and across the shining folds of country, the low profile of the city barely fretted the skyline, indistinct, except for the dome of St. Peter's, bluish-gray like the flattened top of a great balloon, just a flash of copper light on its soft metallic surface. The Cardinal had an eccentric preference for beginning his dinner at this time in the late afternoon, when the vehemence of the sun suggested motion. The light was full of action and had a peculiar quality of climax, of splendid finish. It was both intense and soft, with a ruddiness as of much multiplied candlelight, an aura of red in its flames. It bored into the ilex trees, illuminating their mahogany trunks and blurring their dark foliage. It warmed the bright green of the orange trees and the rose of the oleander blooms to gold, sent congested spiral patterns quivering over the damask and plate and crystal. The churchmen kept their rectangular clerical caps on their heads to protect them from the sun. The three cardinals wore black cassocks with crimson pipings and crimson buttons, the bishop a long black coat over his violet vest. They were talking business, had met indeed to discuss an anticipated appeal from the provincial council at Baltimore for the founding of an apostolic vicariate in New Mexico, a part of North America recently annexed to the United States. This new territory was vague to all of them, even to the missionary bishop. The Italian and French cardinals spoke of it as Le Mexique, and the Spanish host referred to it as New Spain. Their interest in the projected vicariate was tepid and had to be continually revived by the missionary, Father Ferrand, Irish by birth, French by ancestry, a man of wide wanderings and notable achievement in the New World, an Odysseus of the Church. The language spoken was French. The time had already gone by when cardinals could conveniently discuss contemporary matters in Latin. The French and Italian cardinals were men in vigorous middle life. The Norman full-belted and ruddy, the Venetian spare and sallow and hook-nosed. Their host, Garcia Maria de Allende, was still a young man. He was dark in coloring, but the long Spanish face that looked out from so many canvases in his ancestral portrait gallery was in the young cardinal much modified through his English mother. With his cafe oscuro eyes, he had a fresh, pleasant English mouth and an open manner. During the latter years of the reign of Gregory XVI, de Allende had been the most influential man at the Vatican. But since the death of Gregory 2 years ago, he had retired to his country estate. He believed the reforms of the new pontiff impractical and dangerous, and had withdrawn from politics, confining his activities to work for the Society for the Propagation of the Faith, that organization which had been so fostered by Gregory. In his leisure, the cardinal played tennis. As a boy in England, he had been passionately fond of this sport. Lawn tennis had not yet come into fashion. It was a formidable game of indoor tennis the cardinal played. Amateurs of that violent sport came from Spain and France to try their skill against him. The missionary, Bishop Ferrand, looked much older than any of them, old and rough, except for his clear, intensely blue eyes. His diocese lay within the icy arms of the Great Lakes, and on his long, lonely horseback rides among his missions, the sharp winds had bidden him well. The missionary was here for a purpose. He had pressed his point. He ate more rapidly than the others, and had plenty of time to plead his cause. Finished each course with such dispatch that the Frenchman remarked he would have been an ideal dinner companion for Napoleon. The bishop laughed and threw out his brown hands in apology.